Are you sick and tired of watered down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio. WSRadio.WS, the worldwide leader in internet talk.
Welcome back to Coping with Caregiving. I'm your host, Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, with a great lineup for you for our second hour. Our first guest is John Paul Morosi. He is the author of Elder Care, a six-step guide to balancing work and family. And he's the president of Bringing Elder Care Home. It's a consulting firm specializing in solutions to elder care and work conflicts. John Paul is on the board of directors of the National Family Caregivers Association and is a former CEO of several leading healthcare organizations. For 20 years, he has drawn from his professional knowledge and his personal experience as a family caregiver to offer practical insights for dealing with the growing issue of balancing elder care and work. I want everybody to know about his website. It's Bringing Elder Care Home. So, John Paul, tell us, what is the single most important thing that a person who's taking care of mom and dad and trying to hold down a job needs to keep in mind?
Well, hello, Jacqueline. Great to be with you. The single most important thing
is
to keep in mind that family caregiving is a second job. As we're holding down a job in the workplace, we've also got a job to do at home, and we need training, we need education, and we need support in order to do that job well.
So true. It just feels like a complete another 24-hour job on top of your 8-hour job that you've got to do and taking care of your own family. So what do you say to that person who's, you know, gotten some bad news, you know, about their mom or dad, and they're in a crisis situation? What do you say to them to help them cope with that?
Well, if you're in a crisis situation right now, you just heard some bad news about mom or dad, and you're at work. The thing to do is to speak to somebody in your office to let them know what's going on. Because a lot of times, lost productivity, absences from work can be taken as something really negative, when in fact, if you speak with someone that you report to about the situation, you'll have a chance at least to be able to create a plan that's workable for you over time.
You know, do you find that some people have a reluctance to sharing their personal life at work?
Well, there's no question about it. It's not like childcare where you're happy to go up to the water cooler and talk about little Johnny's daycare teacher and how wonderful she is. You know, if there's a problem with mom or dad, it's not something that people are terribly comfortable talking about a lot of times in work, although we're finding that's beginning to change as millions of baby boomers are dealing with this issue. So it makes a big difference if you have a boss that you feel you can speak to. Sometimes if you don't feel comfortable talking to your boss, you can talk to a coworker. But it is important to start to get some support from some other people within the office so you're not quite as isolated as you are otherwise.
And I would imagine, like, if somebody's, you know, a little bit worried about their job and worried that they're going to be, let go, or they're going to hire somebody over top of that person, that they'd be afraid to share that they've got any personal problems in addition to the work problems that they have. So probably pretty hard for some people to bring that out, wouldn't you think?
It can be difficult to want to bring it out. And it depends on the kind of company you're working for. Larger companies have what they call employee assistance programs. Sometimes you can be so bewildered with the situation with mom or dad and that you're seeing you're having trouble at work, you don't know where to turn. Well, if you call the HR department, you can get the 800 number of the employee assistance program and find a counselor that you can speak to without charge. So that's another resource people should keep in mind.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. And, you know, maybe starting a support group within the organization saying, you know, hey, there's so many of us baby boomers here, and we've got, you know, a good 50 of us that are coping with caring for our aging parents. It's a huge company here. How about we start a support group on Tuesday nights?
That makes a lot of sense, and it depends, again, on the company that you're in. But we do find large corporations like AT&T are beginning to support the development of support groups for their employees like that.
You know, and I've heard this statistic, tell me if this is correct, that Alzheimer's disease alone costs American business $33 billion a year, and 79% of that comes from lost productivity from that adult child or spouse having to take time off work to go care for mom and dad. So if that employer understood how hard it is and could help their employees with resources in the community, with support groups, with respite, with everything that would help them, it's going to save them their bottom line, because then that employee is not going to take that much time off work, and it's going to save them money.
Well, you know, Jacqueline, that's the nice thing about these elder care supports. It's really a win-win-win situation. A lot of employers think it's expensive to do something to address this issue, but it isn't necessarily. Just a little bit of flexibility with time, some resource information like a little booklet or an access to an 800 number can go a long way to supporting people. So there's a win for the company because it prevents distractions at work and it prevents productivity losses. It's a win for the employee because they're able to balance work and family, and it's a win for the older person because they're able to have the family member to continue to be involved.
Oh, it's really important. I think people, you know, it's a denial factor is what I found, that everybody is in denial until they're in a crisis. You know, this, they know it's coming. They know that this elder care issue is coming. They've had a few little close calls, and they've had some things happen. And then all, you know, they don't want to talk. They don't want to deal with it. And then they're in this crisis situation, and then they just don't know where to turn. So if the employers got everybody up to date and said, look, this is going to happen to all of us. If you have, unless you're an orphan, you know, or you're single, you're going to either have parents or in-laws that this is going to happen to. So why don't we all get prepared early on so that when things start happening, you know where to turn in the community. You know where to go. You don't have to wait for a crisis where you're out of work for a month because you're trying to solve it. So maybe if the employers were on top of that in that regard, how can we get them to all know about what they need to do? We need to educate the employers.
Well, no question about it. And there's going to be some major initiatives taking place in the United States in the coming year that are going to reach many hundreds of thousands of employers who were never reached before with this message. The Medicare program is going to be doing a major outreach program to employers throughout the country. But right now, what if you happen to work for a company where there's nothing going on? Probably you do, because I don't think more than about 20% of all employees in the country work for employers that have any kind of elder care benefit. Well, if you don't know where else to turn and you're in a crisis right now, you can dial 1-800-677-1116, which is the Elder Care Locator. Now, just last year, the national government passed what they call the National Family Caregiver Support Program, and there's an area agency on aging in every county of the country.
Let's say that again, because when I first heard Area Agency on Aging, I was like, what? It's an odd name. It's the Area Agency on Aging.
And the point is, this is a federal program. It has a program specifically to support you if you are a family caregiver. A lot of people don't know about the program. It's quite new. But there is an agency serving every county of the United States where you can get specific counseling and help and training if you're a family caregiver. And you can find out the name of that agency by calling the Elder Care Locator number, which is 1-800-677-1116. Now, the other thing, of course, that every employer can do is make a simple booklet available like the one that I wrote, because it's like a brand new experience when you're thrust into elder care.
Yeah.
Let's face it, it's only natural to not want to think about mom or dad becoming sick or declining in their health. We don't want to think of it for ourselves, and we don't want to think of it for them. So when you get into that situation, it's nice to know you can pick up a booklet that's very easy to use and be able to take a simple 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 step process and first of all assess your situation and figure out what resources are available for you.
And say the name of your book and how everybody can get it.
The name of the book is Elder Care, a 6-step guide to balancing work and family. And you can obtain a copy on my website at bringingeldercarehome.com.
Fabulous. So then let's say, okay, now we got the crisis. We passed the crisis. We had a month off work. We're past the crisis. But now we're back to the ongoing, you know, day-to-day elder care responsibilities. How can we help the person with that?
Well, now we have to take a look at how things are going for us. And you have to ask yourself honestly whether the elder care situation is having an impact on your work. Is it causing me to arrive late or have to leave early? Is it requiring me to make phone calls during work hours on elder care-related topics? Is it causing me to become tired and emotionally upset and resulting in feelings of distraction? These are the kinds of questions we need to ask ourselves. And if we think that, honestly, it is having an impact on us, the second thing is to look at what our job responsibilities really are. We can't have a conversation with our supervisor or manager about maybe, you know, giving a little more flexibility with our time if we don't know exactly what our responsibilities are. So having an up-to-date job description is really a basis for having a conversation with our supervisor or our manager or our coworkers about how we might temporarily change our responsibilities if we have to deal with a tough situation that might last, you know, say, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. I know that was a situation when my mother had a heart attack, and we had to arrange the post-hospital care for her and help her out with a number of things around the house. So sometimes elder care comes in peaks and valleys. It's not always an intense situation, you know, an unending tough situation. It can be something where we need a couple of weeks of flexibility.
And in my situation, I was trapped for a whole year. I lost my 20-year career in the television business that I had built because I was trapped. I got completely trapped with trying to solve everything that I was going through with my dad turning so difficult and horrible, yet I'd take him to the doctor and he'd be adorable and darling, completely competent.
Yep.
And yet, but you don't understand, he was out of his mind this morning. And it was just amazing because I didn't understand that dementia doesn't mean stupid. And so I didn't know where to turn. And unfortunately, every place that I turned to didn't direct me properly. And so that's why, you know, we've got to educate not only the employers and families, but the doctors. Because when you take them to the doctor, if they're not a specialist in, let's say it is dementia that's starting to happen, which everybody, it's a broad term, Alzheimer's just one type, and it starts so subtle and so intermittent that everybody ignores it for about 4 years, including many of the doctors. And so the day you take them to the doctor is a totally lucid day, and they're totally normal, and they give them the mini state mental test, and they pass that, and they send you home again. And then you have another crisis. So I got trapped for a whole year and lost my whole job. I mean, everything that I had built, gone because of that. So had I known what I know now, my gosh, it wouldn't have taken me a year, wouldn't even take me a month, because I would have known where to turn and which professionals to listen to.
Well, you know, Jacqueline used a couple of words there. You used the word trapped. A lot of times people do feel trapped by the situation. And, you know, just on a personal note, although you did lose your career that you were originally in, we're so thankful that you're out there as an advocate now bringing these issues to greater public attention, because we need voices like yours to bring these caregivers' issues forward.
Thank you.
But, you know, it is possible to reach out beyond yourself and get out of that trapped mode. That's important to remember. Today, we have some rights as family caregivers. There is a federal Family and Medical Leave Act that it provides for us to get at least up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave in a year. If you work for an employer with 50 or more employees, you have a right under federal law to be able to take up to 12 weeks off. And also for your job to be protected and for you to be able to continue your health insurance during that time. These are very important factors.
And they may not, your employer may not tell you about that.
They may not, but that doesn't
so
mean
if you
don't
know
have the
about
right
it.
To take advantage of it. And the way you take advantage of it is to put something in writing to the manager that you're dealing with. And again, in my booklet I have the websites you can go to get the facts about what's called the FMLA, the Family and Medical Leave Act. A really basic but important factor for family caregivers trying to cope today. A lot of people don't realize that you don't have to take leave in big chunks of time either. If you need to take off a week or 4 days or something of that nature, the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act provides for those shorter periods of leave as well.
That's great. But what do you do? Okay, you're at this job, and you go to your supervisor, and you tell them your, you know, story, what's going on, and you get like the blank stare because they haven't gone through it yet. You know, they have totally healthy family, and they look at you, and they just don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about your problems. What do you do?
Well, it's not uncommon to be stonewalled by your supervisor, let's face it. And what does that mean? Well, that means we have to get more creative. Number one, I did mention the rights you have under federal law. And you should exercise those, certainly, if you need the time off. But it also means we should be talking with our co-workers to see what flexibility we can develop there. And if you have an inflexible situation, you know, I spoke to over 700 teachers who are approaching retirement in the last couple of weeks, and many of them said to me, you know, we have the kind of job where we just don't have the flexibility. We've got to be in that classroom to start teaching it when the bell rings, and we've got to be there at the end of the day. And unless something really unusual happens, there's no substitution for us. So my recommendation to them, in addition to being aware of their rights under federal law, is to begin their search in the community to develop a helping network earlier, because we can't do it alone. Family caregiving is not something where you try to go it alone. It
takes a village.
Absolutely. And the sooner we realize that, it's kind of a light bulb going off in our heads, that we don't have to do this alone. We don't have to be the perfect caregiver of all time. The sooner we'll be able to cope well with the situation. So I recommend that people just take out a plain white piece of paper and draw a T on it. And on the left-hand side, make a list of the very specific things that you do in a given week that you might need a little help with, or might be helpful to you in coping. It might be taking your parent to a medical appointment. It might be getting out to see a movie for yourself. And then on the other side of the T, just write down the names of trusted people in your life and in the elder's life. It could be a longtime friend of your mom and dad. It could be a relative. It could be a neighbor. It could be a close friend. And then draw a line matching these tasks that you need help with the trusted people on the other side of this of the line on the paper. That's how you begin your Share the Caring network. And if it's a stonewall situation in work, well, then don't waste your energy batting your head against a brick wall there. Instead, get creative and look for the resources in the community. Again, in my book, I have 800 numbers and websites for many resources. Like for all around the country, there are faith-based volunteer caregiver support programs at many churches and synagogues. There's a single website on the national level where you can go and find out where the one is in your community. So there are resources out there, but you've got to find the energy to reach out and look for them.
And when anyone calls and says, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry what you're going through with your mom, you know, is there anything I can do? Don't let an is there anything I can do ever go by without saying yes.
Absolutely, Jacqueline.
Yes, you know, I would love it if on, you know, Thursdays, if you could do, you know, a little grocery shopping for me, it would be really helpful. Or, you know, on such and such time, once a month, could you take mom to get her hair done at the beauty parlor? You know, yes, if somebody offers, don't ever let that go by without giving a specific of what they could do for you. And say, oh, well, call us if you need help. Well, I'm calling you. I need help. Here it is.
And taking the time to make that little list that I just described
so helpful.
Means that you can respond when somebody does offer to help. Don't say no. Let them do that little bit of help for you.
Yeah, you know, and neighbors, too. So let's say you're stuck at work and you can't get over, and then they've got to be checked on. They're coming home from daycare, and you got to make sure that they're okay, and the caregiver you have there is running out to do something that she's got to do. Make friends with all the neighbors around your parents' home and make sure you have their phone numbers that you can call in a second to just say, gee, could you just check on mom and dad? I'm going to be about a half hour late before I get there.
That's especially important.
Gosh, we're out of time. We're going to come back in a break. Where's the time go? Just, we'll be back with John Paul Morosi. I'm Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, inviting you to check out hundreds of valuable resources on my website. It's elderrage.com. Remember to join us here every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. That's Pacific time. Tell your friends. And don't forget that you can listen online by Tuesdays every week when the show is archived on wsradio.ws, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS
Radio. WSradio.ws,
the worldwide leader in Internet talk.